Hello, everybody. It's so good to see you online yet again. My name is Elliot. My wife, Tiffany, and I have the great privilege of pastoring this group of people called Lifeline Church. Come on, type amen right there and type where you're watching from, type who you're watching with. Come on, send some love. We love to see that engagement. We love to see the involvement. And we've got to do what we've got to do while we stay online. But I don't know about you. I'm feeling like this thing is coming to an end pretty soon. That is not an official update. That is just my guts. My guts are telling me that we are going to be back again soon, and I just cannot wait for us to be here together again. But until then, I want to let you know that you are not watching by accident today. It's actually God Himself that's been drawing you to this moment to give you a message of hope, encouragement, and love. And I might be speaking the words, but God Himself is the one that wants to deliver a message to you. He wants you to receive that hope, that encouragement, and that love. He's been preparing this moment for you. If you believe that, type amen, I receive it. I'm changing it up a little bit. Type, I receive that. Pastor, thank you, because that is the truth of the matter. I know Adam already shared it with you, but I want to thank you again about, man, how generous you guys are. I cannot believe it. I can't believe how generous you are continuing to be. Because of your extreme generosity, we've been able to do so many really cool things for the community. We've been able to do drive-through Mother's Day stuff. We've been able to drop off joy bombs. We've been able to pay people's bills. And the more is on the horizon. Like, we're talking about more ways that we can give because you've been so generous. It's like we always say, you don't give to a church, you give through a church and bless the community at large through the local church. So there's as always those four different ways to do that. You can text 84321. You can smash that donate button. You can mail it to 500 Park Street. And you can also go on our website and give that way. So I'm just saying, there's a lot of different ways to do it. So thank you so much for that generosity. And also, I want to remind you about our groups and growth track. Groups and growth track. Both are found at lifelinelodi.com. Just go to our groups and you can sign up for either one of those two. We got new dream teamers coming on the team. Even last week, we saw that. Growth track is at 6:15 tonight, Sunday night. And our groups are meeting online at all different kinds of days and times. And so there's all different ways for you to be involved. Now, I got to tell you that Paul wrote the letter Colossians from lockdown. He wrote the letter Colossians from lockdown. That's the title of today's message, is Colossians, because we're starting a brand new series called Letters from Lockdown. I'm going to tell you all about it here in a second. But I actually wrote some thank you notes as well. You know, I was feeling extra encouraged. I was feeling extra generous with my praise. So I thought, since I'm on lockdown, you're on lockdown, so I thought I'd write some letters from lockdown myself, some thank you notes, you know, just to stay grateful. Is it okay if I read them to you right now? Well, thank you so much. I didn't hear you, but I know that you're saying, oh, please, Pastor, I would love to hear that. So without further ado, why don't you go ahead and join me for some thank you notes.
Thank you, Facebook, for giving me an avatar that looks way better than I do in real life. Thank you, Shelter in Place, for teaching me that cookies for breakfast is just fine. Thank you again, Shelter in Place, for showing me that one outfit is all I really need. Thank you, every company I've ever done business with, for letting me know how you plan to deal with the COVID-19 crisis via email. I was really curious how that was going to affect my Netflix subscription.
thank you.
Thank you, Trolls Movie, for making quarantine hair look stylish. Thank you.
Okay, that's enough of that. But you know, you gotta stay encouraged while you're on lockdown. You gotta stay grateful, everybody. So write some thank you notes, and if you've got any ideas for thank yous, go ahead and send those over to me as well. All right, let me talk to you for a few minutes about these letters that Paul wrote from lockdown, from jail. Now, some of you don't know that the Apostle Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament, wrote a bunch of his work from being imprisoned, from Roman imprisonment. There were actually 7 letters that Paul wrote from Roman imprisonment, and I guess Paul and I do have one thing in common, being locked up. That's harsh right there. Well, so don't judge. You know, we got that in common. You know, we throw down, okay? We, you know, me and Paul, you know, we tight, you know, we're from the same block. My sound booth has, they have no sense of humor right now. No sense of humor. It's crazy. But that's one thing we do have in common. But these 7 letters were this. They were Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, depending on how you like to say it, Philippians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus. Colossians was written to the church that met in Philemon's home, pastored by Epaphras. And when I was studying this, I'm not going to lie, I was saying like, Epaphras, Pastor Epaphras. I would be in Colossae. Pastor Epaphras, I don't understand, Pastor Epaphras. But, you know, is it hot in here? This is ridiculous. They met in Epaphras' home in the city of Colossae, the Colossians. That's why it's called Colossians, because it's written to the people Colossae, the Colossians. The funny thing is that Paul never even went there. Paul never went to this city. You can study this out. You can look at Paul's missionary journeys and you will see that he never went to this city. He never went to Colossae. And some people don't like church online because they don't get to talk with the pastor. Well, at least you can see me. You know what I'm saying? Like, they couldn't even see. They're like, who is this guy? Like, he's never even been here. But I'm supposed to listen to everything he's got to say. Paul never even met this church. It's like, no questions. He wrote the letter and was like, mic drop. I had to catch that. I didn't want to break the mic in the middle of the thing. No questions, though. No questions at all. But the big idea, let me talk to you about the big idea of the whole letter. This whole letter, it had a main point. It had a main idea. Now, lots of things were talked about. You can read this. You can read this letter in its entirety in probably 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But there is a big idea. And the main point, the big idea that Paul was trying to get across to this church was that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of all. He's supreme. Jesus is Lord. Now, why would Paul have to write a church about that? Now, aren't all churches perfect all the time? Why would Paul even have to write this church, hey guys, remember, Jesus is Lord? It's like, duh. Yeah, thanks for the reminder. But actually, that kind of encourages me. It kind of makes me feel better. At least we don't have to be reminded that Jesus is Lord. Oh, shots fired, Epaphras. Take that. This church don't need to get reminded. Jesus is Lord up in here. I'm sure if Paul was writing us a letter, he'd write us a letter about something. But not that. Not that, because we know that Jesus is Lord. That's true. It was just an excuse to say Epaphras again. Epaphras! But this is how Paul brings it up. This is how Paul brings up this topic in chapter 2, starting in verse 1. He says, I want you to know how much I've agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. Whoa. Not only had he never even been there, these people never even met him. Who is this Paul you speak of? And what does he have to say to me? And why should I listen? I've never even met this guy. It's crazy. What does Paul have to teach them, even though he's not there in person with them? What right does Paul have to teach them, even though he's never seen them in person? Does anybody see where I'm going with this? This speaks to our time right now. Maybe Paul knows something we don't. Maybe he knows it's not the method that's being used. It's the message being delivered that's truly important. Remember, it's the message, not the method. His method was writing a letter, even though he'd never even seen them. But the message remains true, that Jesus is Lord. That's for today, big time. Don't let this online season stand in your way of receiving a message from whoever you consider to be a spiritual guide in your life. All right, don't let online church, I can't get fed because online church. These people got a letter in the mail months later from a guy they never even met before, and that fed them. We got it pretty good. Don't let this season stand in your way, everybody. Get fed, get nourished, learn to feed yourself, which those of you watching, I'm preaching to the choir right now because that's exactly what you're doing. He goes on to say this, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. See, he's belaboring that point. It's Christ. That's why he's saying that, is because he's responding to this. In him lie hidden treasures, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. Oh, plot twist. There was actually people that were bringing in Gnosticism, which is just a fancy word for this pluralistic exist where unity actually scraps out truth, where we're just going to bring it all in and it's kind of focused on us. And if we try hard enough, no. Paul writes and rebukes that idea and says, no, it's all found in Christ. He is Lord. He is supreme of all. And you can trust in him alone. You don't need these other ways to go to heaven. It's not it. He says this, for though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. Man, that could have been written today. Though I'm far away from you, my heart is with you. My heart hurts for anybody who's feeling disconnected right now. My heart is hurting for anybody whose spiritual journey is being compromised. Man, I'm praising God that people are even giving their lives to Jesus on online services like we saw last week. Amazing. And people are still joining the church and going through our growth track through online venues. I'm so glad, but my heart hurts because I know that some of you are not as connected as you even want to be because of the online hindrance. Paul says it better than I could. Though I'm far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. Man, you know what I hear when I hear that? I hear like, oh, you're doing okay. Like my kids, you know, they're not doing so good. Like they're not getting it. She's trying to color in the lines. My daughter, she's trying to color in the lines, which actually, truth be told, she's doing a great job these days coloring in the lines. Better than daddy, for sure. But if she gets out of the line, I'm like, oh, honey, you're doing so good, honey. So, such a good job. Great choice of colors, honey. I can hear like a hint of that in Paul, like, because your faith in Christ is so strong. But he's actually writing this letter in response to these well-crafted arguments that were placed against the Colossians that were teaching them that Jesus is not Lord, but he is part of the process, not the whole process. Oh, but you're doing so good, guys. Come on, keep it up. I hear that fatherly tone. That's what I hear. Maybe it's just because I am a father of kids that age. Maybe that's why. Okay, granted. But I do hear that. I hear that tone. It's like that patting on the back. Keep it up, guys. You can do this. Your faith in Christ is strong, everybody. Keep up the good work. You're doing so good. Your generosity is doing good. Your engagement is doing good. You're staying plugged in, even though things are hard. Keep it up. You can do this. These people were being tricked into thinking that Jesus was not the only way, that he can be on your list, even if he's not at the top. Now, I'm going to change my tone and my face just for a minute, because I need to tell you something a little bold right now. I need to give you some truth today that you need to hear, everybody. If he is not at the top of your list, you got him in the wrong spot. If Jesus isn't number one, then that's misplacement. If he's not Lord over your finances, if he's not Lord over your love life, if he's not Lord over your free time, if he's not Lord over your family, come on, don't tune out on me. Don't lose me now. Come on, stay there with me. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If he's not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. 2,000 years ago, a church needed to hear that very message from some guy they'd never met before, writing them a letter from prison. Can you receive that from me today? Someone that you can see? Someone maybe that you do know? He's Lord, and he belongs at the very top of your list. I want to tell you, just like Paul wrote in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, and now, just as you accepted Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. I'm saying to you, like Paul wrote from prison, we've got to build our lives on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. We got to make him first. Only then will we be everything that we were always meant to be. Only then will we know what purpose feels like. Only then will we know what fulfillment is when we put Jesus first. It's not enough for him to be on your list, but not the top. I know that might be a hard pill to swallow. But what might be standing in the way of your relationship with Jesus being at the top of your list? What are you stressing on right now that's getting more of your attention? He goes on to say this in chapter 3. Since you have been raised to life, you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in a place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. He's reminding people, your focus determines your future. Your focus determines your future. He says it. Keep your eyes focused. Keep your eyes set on the things above, not on the things below, not on earth. No, he says, stay focused on the things of heaven. What you fixate on, what you dwell on, what you can't stop talking about will become your future. That will become your future. What you dwell on will become your destiny. What you worship will become your world. What you serve, you will become a slave to. And I don't know about you, but I can't think of many other things other than Jesus that being a slave to is any good. Said Paul from prison. Said me from, I've been a slave to some things. Okay? And Jesus is the only master I want to be serving these days or ever. What are you most focused on in life right now? Just a simple question. What's got all of your focus? What's got most of your focus? Is it the news? Is it your finances? Is it your job, whether it's starting again or not? Is it politics? What you focus on is your future, and what you serve, you become a slave to. Hey, everybody, maybe just that wake up right there is enough to put things back in place the way they ought to be, the way they should be, with Jesus at the top and everything else flowing because he's at the top. Listen, everyone, all those things I just shared with you, politics, your finances, all these other things, those all make bad masters. Don't be a slave to that stuff by worshiping that stuff. Focus on things that are praiseworthy. Focus on the good things, on the lovely, because your focus determines your future. Seems like Paul always knew exactly what to say. I love it. I love the Bible. I love his word. I love the way Paul writes. I love the way these biblical authors write, the way the Holy Spirit has spoken through them, because it always is so timely. It's always so timely. But if you're feeling like, sure, yeah, he can say that, you can say that, your life is pretty good, his life is pretty good, just keep in mind this series. These are letters from lockdown. Paul wrote these words from prison, which is where he wrote these words. Colossians 4, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let me ask you this. What does a man in prison have to say about opportunity? Apparently, Paul has a perspective that some of us maybe don't have. My question to you is this. Do you see unpleasant things as obstacles to overcome? Or do you see burdens as blessings in disguise? Man, I know I do it, and I know a lot of my friends do it. Almost everybody I know. Anytime something happens, anytime something bad happens, a hiccup, something gets in our, we get all grumpy, we get all, start to stomp around, and we like get all, but what if every time there was an obstacle? What if every time there was a burden, it was a chance for us to grow in our maturity? It was a chance for us to grow deeper in Christ's love. It's a chance for us to increase our endurance. You see, it's all perspective. In that, with that perspective, there's no bad days. There's no bad days. Because here's the fact. Every obstacle is an opportunity. Every obstacle is an opportunity. It's all about perspective. Listen to how James from the Bible writes it out in James 1. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let the perseverance finish its work. The fact that you have to persevere at all. Some people are like, oh, drag. No, let perseverance finish its work. Oh, I can't wait when things open up again. Let perseverance finish its work. You're growing right now. You're being developed right now. You're being strengthened right now. Leave that scripture up. I need to talk about this. Perseverance matters. I was talking with Tiffany the other day about opening the church back up, man, and we had it in our minds. Man, we're going to open this thing up, man. Devil's a liar. Devil is a liar. We are opening church. Come on, somebody. And Tiffany, she's so wise. You know, I'm glad I'm married to her. Y'all are glad I'm married to her too, because I just be sometimes. But as she started talking about this, man, maybe there's something that patience is the fruit of the Spirit. Let perseverance, just read it over and over again. It's right on. Let perseverance finish its work. There's a work being done right now in America, in your heart. Let perseverance finish its work, because there's something growing in there. There's some spiritual maturity that hasn't come out yet. And the longer you wait, the better off you are. The better you're going to be, the stronger you're going to be, the more patience you're going to have. My mom used to tell me, don't pray for patience. Don't pray for patience. Some of you know, some of you heard that too, because you're going to get in trouble a lot. And I did pray for patience, and I did get in trouble a lot. Let perseverance finish its work. Let this season finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Do you feel like you can't take it anymore? Do you feel overwhelmed by the stresses of life? Do you feel like you've messed up in some way? Maybe you're saying, what good could possibly come from all of this? I'm telling you, let perseverance finish its work. You will grow when it feels like a grind. And this obstacle you are facing is actually an opportunity. God has you. He is faithful. Simply remain in Him, and He will remain in you. Let Paul's letters from lockdown encourage you when he says, make the most out of every opportunity. This is an opportunity. Everything's an opportunity. Choose to see it that way. Running out of gas on the side of the road, choose to see it as an opportunity. Seeing those dollar bills go down in your bank account, choose to see it as an opportunity to lean into your trust in Him. Are you dealing with any relationship issues? Choose to see it as an opportunity to dig deeper, to be more selfless, so that your relationship can be stronger and even healthier. And I want to give you an opportunity to put Jesus back where He belongs, at the top of your list today. Because maybe some things have fallen. I say some things, I'm trying to be easy on you. Maybe Jesus has fallen down on your list, and He's not exactly sitting where He should be. Second, third, fourth, fifth. There's an opportunity that you have right now to put Him at the very top of your list again. Like Paul talks about so much in this letter, He's Lord. He's Lord of all. And if we can't see that, if we don't choose to see that, then we're missing out on some major, major growth and blessings in our life. And I'm going to give an opportunity to every single person, because maybe you don't have them on your list at all. You've never even considered life of faith. You just tuned in. This is online. Might as well watch it. It says something about being encouraged, and everybody wants to be encouraged, so I'm watching. But life in Jesus wasn't exactly on your mind. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to put Him on your list and put Him right at the top. You can do this. And for the rest of you, and you, in your heart, if you know Jesus isn't in the place that He should be, the number one place, then I'm going to give you an opportunity right here and right now to put Him back on the throne of your heart and say, Jesus, You are Lord. I've been stressing out for too long. I've been putting my trust in this, that, and the other thing for too long. I've been putting my trust in money. I've been putting trust in my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my love life. I've been putting my trust in the stock market. Nobody putting their trust in that. I've been putting my trust anywhere else, everywhere else. But I'm going to give you an opportunity now to put your trust in Jesus. And it may not be easy to live life that way, but I'll tell you this, it's simple to make the decision. Right where you're at, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And if you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, I want you to pray a prayer just like this. Father, thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to die on a cross for my sins, that the blood of Jesus would wash me clean and all my sins are erased. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Make me new. I put Jesus at the top of my list. Christ Jesus is my Lord. And everyone who prayed that prayer says amen. 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 Awesome. We love you. God bless you so much. I'm so proud of you for making that decision. I'm so proud of you. And even though it was a simple decision to make, I assure you, this life is about to get very fun and exciting for you in some good ways and some hard ways. But let me just tell you this, every obstacle is an opportunity to grow. And if you want to grow, then get ready. Get ready for some fun in your life. Now stay tuned. We're going to have some worship at the end of service today. I wanted to have a chance to just give praise to the King as we finish this off. And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to our channel. It actually really helps us get the word out, get the message out. And if you know anybody who needs this encouragement for themselves, go ahead and share it with them. Why not, right? I'm giving you permission right now. You can just click that, share it, comment, like it, hit the subscribe button. Do all that if you're on YouTube or Facebook. It really means a lot for you to stay plugged in and to continue to receive this message of hope we want to give you. We love you. God bless you, and we'll see you again real soon.